الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد, it is attributed that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib عليه السلام said in his final will, fear Allah in relation to the orphans, attend to their nutrition, and do not forget their interests in the middle of yours. Nabi Isa عليه السلام and Imam Ali عليه السلام used to always look out and seek to empathize with the orphans and the poor, the widows and the needy of their time. If there was a striking similarity between the two of them, you would find that they would always seek to look out for the destitute of their society, those voices who hardly anyone ever listened to, and in many cases people forgot. Because the world that we live in, without a doubt, is a ravaged world. The world that we live in today is a world that has been ravaged by war after war. The reality is that in my own lifetime, God knows how many wars I have seen. I may not have been the victim of bomb blasts, or may not have been the victim, for example, of shelling, or not been the victim of assassinations or executions. But many times in our life, we've seen country after country where we've witnessed videos of people who've been killed, either in the Middle East, or, for example, in parts of Africa, or in other parts of the world. The victims of this, without a doubt, are the other members of their family and the community at large. If now, for example, a Syrian father is killed, who are the victims? The first of those victims are the children of that particular person. The children of that person grow up without having that mercy in their life and that blessing that is a father. Imagine all of us sitting here today grew up without a father in our life. There would be a gaping hole in our life if that father figure was not there. In some cases, not a father. In some cases, some lost their mothers and their fathers are still alive. In other cases, you find another of the victims, of course, is a whole community known as the widows of this world. There are millions of widows who live in the world today who are victims either of a bomb blast that occurred to a member of their family in Afghanistan, or in Yemen, or in Syria, or in Iraq, or in any part of the world where you've seen wars take place. So now on the one hand, you have a group known as the orphans, and another, you have a group known as the widows. And then what happens after that is, without a doubt, these two groups can in some cases just about make ends meet. If you're a widow in certain societies, it's not easy for you to balance looking after your children and going out to earn a living. Even if you had the most stable family structure, there are certain societies and certain cultures that don't even allow you to go out and work. There are certain places in the world where a lady, it is seen as a taboo for her to work in a certain environment. So now automatically, that lady has to ask herself, how do I fend for myself? Do I keep going to my elder brother and asking him for a handout? Do I keep going to my cousins and asking them for a handout? Suddenly, the voice of this lady, which at one point may have been full of confidence, you suddenly don't hear it anymore. That lady may end up having to resort to a world to make ends meet. As in, there are certain members of the East European world who today and in the past have had to literally sell their bodies to make ends meet. They fly to Europe, away from where they lived, A, either because of poverty, or B, because of war, and they go and sell their bodies. They sell their bodies because they believe that here there is a chance for them to earn a living. Yes, certain people may look at them and say, well, that's their own responsibility. But never forget, for some people, the world that they've come from is a world where psychologically, emotionally, physically, they've been destroyed. And to add insult to injury, sometimes we as human beings don't even bat an eyelid. We know that there are people who are affected by the war in Yemen, yet we could wake up handsomely and perfectly without thinking twice about them. Even though our Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family said, "Man asbaha wa lam yahtam bi umur al-muslimin fa laysa bi muslim." Whoever wakes up in the morning and is not concerned with the affairs of the Muslim world or the Muslim ummah, then he is not a Muslim. Someone says, but I am a Muslim, I pray and I fast. But if Islam was only prayers and fasting, I can take you to a yoga class and an Atkins diet, and we can work it out, and I'll make a religion, and I'll call it my religion. I can find intermittent fasting, plus another form of hiking, and we can make it a religion. Reality is, the religion was meant to be a religion that socially transformed the society, that allowed you to always keep a tabs on those who aren't as fortunate as you. The world is arbitrary. Some of us could have been born in Iraq in 1985, but rather some of us were born in London at that time. Had we been born in Iraq, we would have heard the bombs or planes coming in the middle of a Gulf War. But we were born in London and did not see that. But why should someone who was born in that be forgotten? Why should someone look down at such people? Prophet Isa, Prophet Jesus alayhi salam, and Imam Ali alayhi salam, both of them wanted to give as much energy and as much love to the destitute of their time. If you look at their lives, you'll find that the people who lived in their vicinity saw nothing but sympathy from them, saw nothing but empathy from them, saw nothing but love from them, saw nothing but care from them. At the end of the day, as Imam al-Sadiq and others, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, would mention, it's not about you giving a small amount of charity. That's not the shame. The shame is you refusing when you see there are those in need. There are some out there who hardly give back. Rather, they make a million excuses. Yes. When they are told, as Surah Yasin, verse 47, we recite it all the time, when they are told that, why don't you give charity towards the way of God? And their reply of some people is, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. Why should we feed those who, if Allah wanted to, he could have fed? Yes. Sometimes you'll see some people, when you ask them to look out for the needy, for the widow, for the orphan, for the poor, they reply by saying, why doesn't God look out for them? God can look after them. God can give them. They believe in a God, and religion for them is the opiate of the masses. So let them hold on to that God. No, that shouldn't be our attitude. Reality is, our attitude should be that we put all our theological conclusions aside and say, that's another human. No child deserves to be in an environment where they grow up not being able to eat the food that you eat. You're able to go on Deliveroo straight away. You're able to go on any app straight away. I want KFC, bring KFC. I want McD's, bring McD's. I want Pizza Hut, bring me Pizza Hut. I want food from any restaurant, I get straight away. There are children in the world who dream of having meat on their table. Forget being able to order every night in the holy month of Ramadan. And that's why when people come and ask us, why do you Muslims fast in this holy month? It really is because it needs to bring us down to earth. The reality is that this world that I live in is a world where I could easily forget myself. And naturally in Arabic, by being called insan, rah ensa. If anyone asks you, what's the meaning of insan? Insan can have a number of meanings. I'll elaborate in a future discussion. One of the meanings from nisyan. Mu'ahna ninsa. We forget. We forget that there are others in the world. Prophet Jesus alayhi salam and Imam Ali alayhi salam, their main role was to act as reminders for their time and reminders for every time. That we, as Jesus himself says, have been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. If you look within the book of Luke 4:18, You'll see that Jesus says, we've been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. That the poor should not be forgotten. The downtrodden should not be neglected. And it's true that when you look at their words and you look at their actions, you find, subhanAllah, these two personalities can be a source of happiness for the whole world today. If the world studied the words of Jesus and the actions of Ali ibn Abi Talib, believe you me, we could eradicate poverty together. Let's tonight examine the fourth of the similarities between Nabi Isa alayhi salam and Imam Ali alayhi salam. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, what if somebody turns around to you and says that there are poor in the world because they are lazy? It's nothing to do with us. Or if God wanted to, he could have helped them. How do we reply to these people? Number two, which verses in the Bible does God look out for the poor? Does God remind us of our responsibility to the poor? Does God remind us to speak out for the poor? Does God remind us about the fatherless orphans and about the widows who need protection? And how fundamental are those verses in our life today? And why did Nabi Isa alayhi salam stress these verses to those around him? Then number three, why does Jesus say, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for them is the kingdom of heaven? Number four, how does Imam Ali alayhi salam say the same thing in his munajat? When he says, Mawlaya ya Mawlaya anta al-ghaniyu wa ana al-faqir, wa hal yarhamu al-faqir illa al-ghani. What does Imam Ali mean when he says, I am a faqir and you are the ghani? Number five, how does Imam Ali alayhi salam highlight within his own actions that a person should always look out for the poor, even if they're praying, their prayer may be disturbed to answer the hajat of the poor? And how did he show this in his life? Number five, how did Imam Ali also show this in relation to the widows of his time? Those who had lost their husbands at battles like Safin and Nahrawan, how did he look out for them? And number six, how did Imam Ali look out for the orphans in Kufa? And how on a day like this were certain orphans confused? Where is the man who used to be with us every night? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. Shaytan has a particular way of affecting us helping people, and especially helping the poor or the orphan or the widows in charity. The Quran itself tells us that الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. Shaytan, what he promises you is that poverty will be what happens when you give charity. Why are you giving so much? We have to balance our books. Sometimes you hear this, that why did you need to give so much? Give 15 pounds. If you've given 15, it would have been easier. Or giving 100, we could be affected by our investments or our savings. What Shaytan does cleverly is that Shaytan, the Quran says, gets in the way of you empathizing with the poor. What Shaytan also does is that he tells you, it's their fault they're poor. It's not yours. Their laziness is what leads to their poverty. On the one hand, laziness can lead to poverty, without a doubt, that there are certain people in this world who have the ability to get themselves out of their difficult situations. You know, if you live in this country, the very fact that you have benefits, DSS, universal credit, on the one hand, it's beneficial. On the one hand, there are people who are elderly, people who are physically challenged, people who are mentally challenged, people who cannot necessarily work like others. They deserve that there is a welfare system that looks out for them. That there is no doubt. But on the other hand, sometimes there are those who can go out and work. But subhanAllah, one of the diseases that can begin to affect them is laziness. Prophet Isa and Imam Ali alayhi salam warned that sometimes poverty can be the result of laziness. That there's no doubt. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a piece of land and you're able to water that land, God has given you hands that can be used to pick up things, God has given you a voice that can be used to answer a telephone or to make calls, God has given you the feet that can walk around London and deliver things, then why rely on a government handout? Because Shaytan tells you, listen, if the government's giving you 1,500, 2,000, 2,500 pounds a month, what are you doing going out to work? That most scammers in the world of benefits are Muslims. Muslims scam the benefit system more than anyone else. Am I the only one saying this? No. You see reports, you see the names of the scammers, and you see the person got seven businesses on the side, and that person himself is taking money. If someone you say is unemployed, he's not getting a monthly salary, that person is in a difficult situation, has been through a difficult, no problem. But when somebody has already got a number of shops, and somebody has already got investments in other countries, and then, you know, there are some people in the Muslim community who embarrassed us, that in reality, they can't call themselves poor. They scam the system. And sometimes poverty, sometimes may be a trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think when you see someone poor, automatically you imagine that this person, he is unlucky in life. No, sometimes you yourself may lead to such a damaging situation. There are certain Muslims who don't live in London. They may live somewhere else in Europe. Or they move to London while they have another house somewhere in Europe. They return to Europe, sign to show that they're still living in that country. So they claim benefits from two places. There are some Muslims who register themselves and their wives as separated or as divorced. So there's a double income coming in. What do we answer God on the Day of Judgment? Some of them, you know what they say? It's because these are kuffar governments, disbelievers. So we have the right to steal from them. Prophet Jesus and Imam Ali alayhi salam would never accept that a person lies or a person steals from another human being to try and cover their losses. On the contrary, they did not want to build such an environment. On the one hand, laziness can lead to poverty. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen makes it clear that sometimes you neglect what God has given you, that could end up leading to poverty. On the other hand, no, sometimes poverty or being an orphan or being a widow is not because of laziness. If my husband has gone out to work and then does not come back because of a bomb blast, because of an ISIS or another terrorist group, that cannot be blamed on laziness. What have I done as a widow to deserve this? Or if my father has gone out to work and does not come back because someone shot him, even shot them accidentally, I become an orphan. What have I done wrong? You can't blame me, laziness on me. This idea that we paint everybody with the same brush is one of the works of Shaitan. Shaitan wants to build a society where people paint everyone the same brush. You must be poor because you're lazy, because you have no incentive, because you have no momentum. No, on the contrary, there are some people who are poor in this world. They never deserve to be. But certain bad decisions led them to that from other people. What's it their fault? There are some who escaped from their homes and became homeless on the streets because they were being physically abused at home every day. That person is not poor because they wanted to be. That person is poor because of the fact that they had to escape a terror in their house. A person is an orphan, a widow. We don't go around and blaming their laziness as to why they've reached that stage. On the contrary, nor do we look down at anyone who's reached that stage. One of the worst things to do is have takabbur on somebody because they don't earn as much as you. You know, I'll tell you something which was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. In London and in Manhattan, London and Manhattan are probably the two most prestigious cities in the world. Do you know there are certain buildings where they have a rich door and a poor door? I want you one day to Google, when you have time, Google poor door. Someone says, what do you mean poor door? Baba, it's a building. There's only one door to enter. Sometimes when you build a luxury building in a certain prestigious area, you have to give certain amount of units affordable homes. Affordable to key workers. For example, teachers, train drivers, people who allow that city to in reality function. You have to try and have, as a, for example, someone who's a builder, you have to say to the council, if you're going to give me this whole planning permission for 170 flats, I promise that out of those 170, 35 of them, I'm going to give to key workers. There are some flats in those buildings which are $9 million. Now that train driver, when you give them a flat that's affordable, what is the amount they have to pay? They put 10% down, that's it. But you had to give so that these people had a place to live when they come in and work and transport everybody. Do you know what some of the rich members of Manhattan society said in one particular building? Because Manhattan is divided either into condos or co-ops. Condo, you may own outright. But the co-op, there's a board. The board has to look at you. The board has to see your face, maybe see your color. And then see whether they want you in that building or not. You can live in park. Madison, Lexington, Fifth, are you allowed to or not? The board decides in some cases. Do you know what some of them said? Said, we don't want to enter the same entrance as the poor people. Make a separate entrance for us. This same person, by the way, maybe someone who loves Moses. Maybe someone who loves Jesus. Maybe someone who may even love David. Maybe someone who loves Solomon. Maybe someone who loves Abraham. Me and the poor do not enter from the same door. They made a separate door for the poor people of the building. A separate door. A separate door completely. A door that was separate because they didn't want the rich and the poor to enter. You therefore found, was this what Jesus and Imam Ali alayhi salam taught? Completely opposite. Never would Jesus or Imam Ali condone that a person does not sit with the poor, or a person does not want to talk to the poor. Mind you, in our Muslim communities, you see this. There are some families, they want to only live with a certain class of families. There are some people who only want to be with a certain class of people. May Allah never show us that day. On the contrary, I don't look for your wealth, I look for your akhlaq and reality, your morals. Someone turned around and said, okay, why then doesn't God look after them? You call God Razak, why doesn't God look after them? And I've always said that George Bernard Shaw answered this in the best of ways. George Bernard Shaw was asked, why are there poor people in the world? And he replied, because of my hair. This is, I'm sorry, is that because of my hair? So what do you mean? He, George Bernard Shaw, had no hair in the middle and had lots of hair on the sides. He said, good production, bad distribution. I have hair on the side, I wanted hair in the middle. Why did you give me a lot of hair on the side and nothing in the middle? Production is good, distribution is bad. Don't blame God on this. Rather, you ask yourself about the distribution. Can you not afford to sponsor a house in Yemen? Can you not afford to sponsor a well in Afghanistan? Someone said, how much is a well? £1,500. Wallah, for some of us, that's a half or a quarter of a holiday resort that we spend time in some cases. The person can help Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria. Don't blame God. The distribution, the world's distribution, in some cases, a few people have the majority of the wealth of the world. Therefore, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, what did he do? Within the Bible, you saw that Jesus alayhi salam preached a particular message. What was the message? First message, and both of these messages, the first two are related to the poor. From which book? Proverbs. I want all of you, if you can, there are two quotes in Proverbs which are wonderful when looking at the world of God when it comes to the poor. The first of them, Proverbs 21:13. In Proverbs 21:13, what does it say? If a man shuts his ears when they hear the cry of someone poor, then there will be a day when they cry, they too shall not be answered. Listen to that line. If a man shuts their ears when they hear the cry of the poor, then that same man one day also shall not be answered. When I hear the cry of the poor, I can easily pick up my remote control and change the page. I may see a report, or I may see a fundraiser, or I may see charity being raised. Oh, not again, they're trying to raise for change it. Shaitan, ya'idukum al-faq. Shaitan promises you that you'll be poor if you give. What happens is, if you neglect their cries, wallah, there'll be a day your cry will not be answered. Believe you me, there are certain countries in this world which were the richest countries. Now they're struggling. That may have been because of the time they never heard the cries of others. They never thought there'd be a day when, for example, they would be the ones crying. I look, for example, at certain countries in the Middle East. There are certain countries in the Middle East. In the 60s, they were called the Paris of the Middle East. Yes. There are certain countries in the Middle East. In the 60s, their rivers used to flourish. People used to have restaurants by the rivers. Those same countries reached the day no one heard their cries. In the book of Proverbs, first one, 21:13, if a man hears and shuts their ears when they hear the cry of the poor, there will be a day no one will answer them as well. When I hear someone on the street saying to me, do you have any money? I shouldn't shut my ear as if this isn't a human being sitting there. Because we're judgmental. What do we do when someone's on the streets? I bet they're going to use it to go and drink alcohol. Who are you to judge? Who are you? Who are you? That man is crying to you. Don't shut your ears and just walk past. If you have some coins, take the coin out and give it to him. And then on top of that, if you're a follower of Jesus and Imam Ali, on top of that, what should you do? You say, sorry if I don't have more. Don't think that you're doing someone a favor who's poor when you give them. On the contrary, they're giving you and doing you a favor that you've been given the opportunity to help the cry of another human being. I hear another human being crying. This should be an opportunity they've given me, that I'm able to be a wasila from God and intermediate to help those particular people. I see people walk past the homeless in London, and many focus on what's happening in Yemen and Afghanistan and so on. But how about the streets of London? How about your own area? If you're in Toronto, your area. If you're in Dar es Salaam, your area. In your own streets, you see someone who's poor. I see people carry thousands upon thousands to the Middle East. How about your own area? In your area, there are Sadat who are poor. There are non-Muslims who are homeless. There are youth who are on the streets. I go to that person. I hear them crying. I don't say, I bet they're a drug addict. I bet they're going to use it for alcohol. Maybe they will. Maybe they will. Maybe your smile may make them ask, who is this person who has given me? I, in the past, have gone past some people. I made it a first point in my life that if I leave a restaurant and we have food, I made the first point that we take it away. I don't care if it's the most famous, most prestigious restaurant on earth or the most basic. Food, I can walk out. There is someone who's crying in the streets of London. Someone who cannot afford something you haven't even bothered to think about the bill on. That cry, Proverbs 21:13 says, if you shut your ears when a poor person cries, then there'll be a day when you will cry and you will not be answered. That's on the first level. On the second level, Proverbs where? 31:8, speak out for the destitute. Don't remain silent for them. All of us in our houses should inculcate what the Bible says on this line. The Bible says that you speak out for the poor. Judge fairly the poor. Don't forget the poor. Don't be those who neglect. In every WhatsApp group that you have, keep sending anything that you have to help poor people, whether sometimes it's in your community. Remember, we always talk about international drive. Sometimes in our own communities, there are people who are facing financial difficulties they haven't recovered from since COVID. They cannot pay mortgages. They cannot pay rent. They cannot pay school fees. I should speak out for these people by sending messages to people who I know are doing well. And by saying that there's someone in my community who's not doing too well. Is there any help that you can help? When someone comes to ask you for help, don't say, I don't have. Say, maybe I do not have now, but I'm going to speak to somebody who may have. That's Islam. The Bible, in the book of Proverbs, what did it say? In the book of Proverbs, you found that it made it clear, speak out for the destitute. Because many of these children, whether they're poor and they have no family around them, many of them don't have a voice. It's embarrassing, believe you me. It's embarrassing. Sometimes I see some of these Romanian beggars in central London. I hear people saying, oh, these are gypsies, these are scum. Okay, look, you may not like somebody always coming up to you. And they might even say, salamu alaykum, and maybe they're not even Muslim. Maybe they're not Muslim, and they say, salamu alaykum. Maybe you see someone coming to play a particular musical instrument next to you, and all he wants is something. Maybe you don't want to give, but don't be arrogant towards that person. That person, it is the most embarrassing thing for them to see 20, 30 people relaxing in a shisha cafe, looking at them and just going, go. That's an embarrassment. That's not something I can just laugh off, nor is it something that I always have to give. But at least I can make the person feel good with a smile in one way or the other, because that person does not have a voice for them to speak. Yes, you see them talking to you. Yes, you see them saying to you, give me what you can. But they don't have a voice, in all honesty. It wasn't their fault they were born in a certain area at a certain time where communism said that we're going to bring equality, and before you knew it, the leader was in a limousine and everybody else was working industrial sites. It wasn't their fault. So you found, therefore, in the Bible, what did Jesus say? Anointed one, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. But remember that if you shut your ears when they cry, there'll be a day no one will answer your cry. And remember that you are their voice. So speak for them. Don't neglect them. Jesus, son of Mary, loved to sit with the poor. He had no problem. You're poor and you're dirty. You're not dirty to me. Come hold my hands. I will wash your feet. because you have had it tough in life. I will sit with you. I'll break bread with you. That was the way of Isa, son of Mary. And that's why in another line, what does he say? He changes the metaphor by saying in the line in the Bible, blessed are the poor in spirit, for them is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. What do you mean poor in spirit? You see, you could be faqir economically. You could be faqir spiritually. What's the difference between the two? A poor person, economically, we've already discussed, they don't have the pounds or the dollars to be able to pay for everything. A poor person, spiritually, can end up being the wealthiest person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because I recognize in reality, I'm not self-sufficient. Even I, one day, could go bankrupt and lose everything. Who am I to think that my wealth will remain with me forever? Isn't that true? There'll be a day my business falls. What do I do at that moment? What I do is I recognize I was always a faqir. I never became rich. Why? Because the reality is there's only one ghani, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Mawlaya ya Mawlai, antal ghaniyu wa ana al faqir, wa hal yarhamu al faqir illa al ghani. What does Imam mean by that? My master, oh my master, you are the rich, you are the wealthy, and I'm the poor. Does that mean Imam said he had no money? It's not that. No. It's that my master, I can only be the ghani the day that I never needed you. But the reality is to wake up, I needed you. To breathe, I needed you. To walk, I needed you. To educate myself, I needed you. To talk, I needed you. To go back to sleep, I needed you. How then am I wealthy? There is no such thing as me being wealthy. I'm always a faqir when it comes in relation to you. I have nothing. I don't possess anything. The dunya that is here, you are the malik, not me. Again in the munajat, Mawlaya Mawlai, anta al-maliku wa ana al-mamluk. Wa hal yarhamu al-mamluk illa al-malik. My master, you are the master. And I am what? I'm one of the slaves in reality. Yes? Who is there for the slaves except the master? No one on this earth in reality can turn around and say they're wealthy. Nobody. If you show me Bezos, or you show me Buffett, or you show me Gates, or you show me Musk, you show me any of them, the reality is all of them will have a day where they have to go 6 feet under. Isn't that true? Can their money buy it? No. Could that money buy for Herod or for Pontius Pilate their life? Could it buy for Pharaoh his life? No. So in reality, who's rich in this world? I'll tell you who's rich. The richest will always remain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ones after him are the ones who hold on to the likes of Prophet Jesus and Imam Ali alayhi salam. That's when you are rich, because them you can never lose. Therefore, Nabi Isa alayhi salam said, blessed are those who are the poor in spirit. Because when you realize your real poverty, that you really are a faqir, you will never neglect another faqir. Because you realize that, listen, me and you are the same. One day it's been good for you. Yawman laka wa yawman alayk. There's a day for you and there's a day for me. There's a day that you've done well and I haven't. There's a day that I'll do well and you haven't. The reality is when we go to the qabr, all of us are equal. What differentiates us is our taqwa. Therefore, Proverbs 21:13. Proverbs 31:8. Then he talks about who? The orphans and the widows in the Bible. In the book of Psalm 68:5, what does he say? Father of the fatherless, protector of the widows is God. When an orphan has no father, who becomes her father? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Father of the fatherless and protector of the widows is God. Jesus did not just focus on poor and orphan. Jesus did not focus on the poor. The orphans and the widows are a major part of society. Why do I say this? Do you know what happens when you're an orphan or widow? A number of things can happen. Number one is that this can bring a question on faith when you go through these things. When you don't have a father in your life, everyone else does. When you lose your husband cruelly, your faith could become to question. You start questioning even God's existence. Poverty, the same. Then number two, you get angry quickly. Yes. Therefore, those people who are orphans or widows, we have to look after them. Because those people look around them and they're like, everyone's got a father. Everyone has, for example, let's say a husband. Why? Why me? Why did I lose my husband at such a young age? Why did I lose my dad so cruelly at such a young age? Such people are the ones God says, if you don't look after, I'm looking after. In the Bible, you look, for example, in Psalm 68:5, God says, father of the fatherless and protector of the widows is God. This is his city of habitation. Then you look in Deuteronomy. In book 10 of Deuteronomy, God wants justice. For who? For the fatherless, for the widows, and for those who travel on the earth. You know, sometimes you read in the Quran, people always ask me, I understand, al-yatama, al-masakeen, al-fuqara, who's Ibn al-Sabil? You always hear, Ibn al-Sabil. Who's Ibn al-Sabil? Ibn al-Sabil are those who are the sojourners of this earth. Those who travel and sometimes don't have enough to meet their needs. And so therefore, even there's a certain allocation of khums that can be there for those who are from the sons of that particular path. Therefore, what do we find? We find that in the Bible, Jesus mentions the poor, the fatherless, and the widows. That these in society are the ones you should seek justice for. Don't neglect them. And that's why does the Bible come down harshly? You go towards Deuteronomy or Leviticus, or you go to other works or chapters within the Bible. Why do they come down harshly? That if you are a businessman and someone poor comes to you, don't start charging interest on them. Well, what do you think Jesus' biggest problem was? His biggest problem were those from the Jewish community who, on the one hand, the part of their life was for God, the other part was for their pockets. Yes. If they see a widow, no effect. She's lost her husband, hasn't lost her husband. Come here, interest. See someone poor, interest. The Bible came down harsh. That when you see in your community a widow or see someone poor, have a soft heart towards them. They owe you a certain amount of money. Don't start charging interest. Wallah, the disease of this earth economically is interest. And the disease of this earth socially is alcohol. Anyone who's a promoter of interest and alcohol, wallah, has many reform programs as you make to try and remove the ills of society. While these two are around, none of the ills will be removed. While alcohol is there with the possibility of it destroying somebody, and while interest is there with the way that a loan shark can eat you. So one bridging loan can destroy a human's life. Yes? That's all it needs. One, and it destroys the human being's life. And you see them crying when 2008 happens. Mubaba, wallah, we said stay away from that interest world. Wallah, it has no heart. A society that has that within it is a society full of diseases. So you found that Jesus, in his words and his actions, wanted every spectrum of society to be covered. Was Imam Ali alayhi salam the reflection? Exactly the same reflection. Imam Ali alayhi salam, everything that Jesus said, you found was embodied in the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Did Ali ibn Abi Talib ever once in his life believed that he was the custodian of anything on this earth? Did he ever believe that his house, deserved the best house, or he deserved the best horse? Even when he wanted to marry Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, he made it clear that whatever I have, Ya Rasulullah, I've got a horse, I've got a shield, you know, I've got my armor, for example. Whatever you want to take from me, and I've got my sword. That's all I own in this world. The same Ali ibn Abi Talib left this world on the night of the 21st, a couple of nights earlier, when his daughter brings him three basic portions of food. We're not even talking amazing roast chicken or rice and curry or the biggest lamb. If someone brings you some yogurt and maybe some bread, and he says, I don't want to go to the Lord on a full stomach. That's the embodiment of blessed are those who are poor in spirit. That I am a faqir in the sense that Allah, you are the ghani. On the first level, Mawla ya Mawla anta al Mawla wa ana al abd wa hal yarhamu al abd lil Mawla. Mawla ya Mawla anta al ghani wa ana al faqir wa hal yarhamu al faqir illa al ghani. But on the second level, every one of those areas of society, the destitute, whether it became who, whether it became the poor of his community, or the orphans, or the widows, he was willing in his salah to have it interrupted so that the hajat of someone poor is answered. When a poor person in the mosque of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi in Medina goes around saying, give me something, I'm poor. Everybody has neglected him. Remember what the Bible said. Someone cries to you about their poverty, you shut your ears, there'll be a day that you won't be answered. That person in the mosque, nobody's answering him. Imam Ali is in salah. Look what Islam became. Salah did not become the ends, it was the means. The ends was for you to grow as a human being. For you to be an empathetic human being. And a human being who realizes that there are kids out there crying. There are elderly out there who are begging on the streets. Don't neglect them. When Imam put out that finger in that ruku' to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he became his guardian on the earth. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Allah, you know when I say أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ عَلِيًّا وَلِيُّ اللَّهِ, what does it mean? It's because of this ayah, Surah 5 verse 55. This ayah said, God, Allah, وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah is the guardian of those who believe. He takes them from darkness to light, but sometimes that guardianship, he gives a bit of it to his creation. Rasulullah, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Rasulullah also became Allah's wali. Then after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who became Allah's guardian of his message on the earth? Who became the manifestation of God's karam? The manifestation of God's jood? The manifestation of God's mercy on this earth? Does not Imam Ali, even though he's the manifestation of Jood, Imam says, Mawlaya, Mawlaya, Anta al-Jawadu wa Ana al-Bakhil. Subhanallah. Wa hal yarhamu al-Bakhil. If Imam Ali is stingy, who am I? Mawlaya, Mawlaya, Anta al-Jawadu wa Ana al-Bakhil. Wa hal yarhamu al-Bakhil. Illa al-Jawad. My master, oh my master, you are the one full of beneficence and generosity. And I am the stingy. Who is therefore the stingy like me except you? If you, O Mawla, are the stingy, then what am I? You are the one who would go around if there was a, wallah, if the treasury of the Muslims had some coins, he'd sweep it up until it went to everywhere. Dunya ghurri ghayri. Dunya, this world deceive other than me. I could keep it in my pocket. No, there are poor people in the street. People ask him, why are you living like this? He said, how can I call myself leader while I'm not living the way my people are living, the worst of them, who's facing poverty and difficulty? When Mawla, therefore, would see the poor, he would make it clear that when you don't want to give, you might be ashamed, all right, about the amount that you're giving. No, the real shame is refusing to give. No Muslim in the holy month of Ramadan, if they finish this month and they have not donated to a charity, then your Shahar Ramadan has not been transformative. Even wallah, if you donate £1, that is better than you refusing to donate. On the one hand, the poor. Imam Ali alayhi salam made sure, like his father-in-law, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, had trained him better than anyone. Welcome Bilal, welcome Ammar, welcome Salman, welcome anyone. I don't care if they're rich or they're poor. We sit with them like we'd sit with the wealthiest. Why do you think some of the Meccans hated the Prophet? Why does he make us sit with the riffraff and the poor of society? Imam Ali alayhi salam, his own servant Qambar, he made him feel like the richest man on earth. His own servant Bibi Fadda, he made her feel like a princess in the house. Never would he look down at somebody because of their status economically. That's with the poor. Number two, with who? With the widows. He knew that there were certain soldiers of his who had lost their lives at Jamal and Safin and Nahrawan. If the soldiers lost his life, then what's he left behind? Left behind a widow. So when he's left a widow behind, that widow is obviously going to have to fend for herself, that poor lady. True. That poor lady has to fend for herself. Who's going to look after her? She obviously is frustrated. And remember, some of these ladies whose husbands were soldiers with Ali ibn Abi Talib, some of them have never met Amir al-Mu'mineen. Remember, the Islamic State, you could go Mecca, Medina, Basra, Kufa. Not everybody can travel from one place to another. Some of these widows only have heard Imam Ali. They've heard him by name. Never met him, but they've lost their husband. Now they're widows, they've got kids, kids are orphans, food has to be cooked. Who's going to cook the food? One of these widows lived with her eldest daughter and a couple of the kids. They had lost their husband, if I'm not mistaken, at Nahrawan. She used to curse Imam Ali alayhi salam. Blatantly. She said, curse be on him. He took my husband. One day, Mawla heard. How did he hear? he was going past the house of this lady, he would ask, because you know he'd love to sit with the people in the markets. He'd sit with them, the poor, the rich, it doesn't matter. He'd sit with the poor and the rich, sit with the orphans. He said to her, "How are you?" She goes, "I'm not very well." He said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Oh, I just stir this hot water." He said, "Why do you just keep stirring?" He said, "Oh, I've got orphan kids. And because of our poverty, we don't have much to eat. I lost my husband. May God curse." Astaghfirullah. "May God curse Ali," she said, "because he's the man who made me lose my husband." He looked at her and he said to her, "No problem. It's okay. Is there any way that I can possibly help you?" She said, "There's not much that you can do, to tell you the truth. I don't have anything. I'm a widow. My eldest daughter, there's no one else here." He said, "Let's do this. I'm going to come tomorrow. I'm going to bring some dough, some, you know, flour and so on. We make it into bread and we feed the kids." She says, "Very kind of you. Don't have to, in all honesty. You really don't have to. I can do it." No, he said, no. "I insist. I'm going to come tomorrow." Next day he came, gets everything together, bread for the kids, finishes, leaves. And next day he comes, collects bread for the kids and leaves. She's saying what? Curse on Ali. She doesn't know who he is. One day as he was leaving, her daughter was coming home. Her daughter looked, she's like, "Oh my God." Her daughter had met Imam before, had seen Imam. She came to her mom, "Mom, you see who just left our house?" She's like, "I don't know. Nice man, really nice man, but I haven't got a clue who he is." She said, "Mom, that's Ali ibn Abi Talib." I said, "Who?" I said, "Ali ibn Abi Talib." I said, "Ali ibn Abi Talib, as in the commander, the Khalifa?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Oh my God." I said, "Mom, what's wrong?" I said, "I've been cursing him every day in front of him. The man not once has said anything. Oh, he's been coming home to help." The lady ran out with her daughter. She came, "Mola, please forgive me. I didn't know it was you." And you know what he turned around and said? "You forgive me if anything that I did hurt you in your life. Maybe you feel that what happened with your husband was because, forgive me. That was not our intention. Our intention was that we were fighting against this group of rebels, this radicals who were trying to cause trouble. I never intended once for me to have a day where you had children who were orphans and you were a widow." Look at his concern. The Bible said that God wants to care for who? Care for the widows. The Quran said that get your sadaqah together. Innama sadaqat lil fuqara, al masakin, the miskeen and the faqir. These two groups, never forget them. If you see in your society there are orphans, go to the orphanage. Don't just donate. I know it's easy. By the click of a button, a person can come towards an app and they're able at this moment to be what? To be clicking. But try your hardest. When can I, for example, go to Iraq? I could go towards Karbala. I could go and sit there. I could see the orphans. I'm able to go and sit with that yatim. And I can stroke the head of that yatim. One thing Mawla would always do, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa would do, which Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein alayhim as-salam would do, is that they stroke the head of the yatim as well. They'd make sure that the head of that orphan was stroked. Why? Because the Prophet himself said, for every light, for every hair that you touch of an orphan is light for you on the day of judgment. You found therefore Imam Ali alayhi salam, when it came to the faqir, he looked after. The aramil, he looked after. And the orphans of Kufa. He would make sure that there wasn't a yatim or a yatima in Kufa, but that they were all looked after one by one. He'd go to each of their houses. He'd sit with each one of them. He'd sit with their families. And when would he do it? He wouldn't just do it, for example, on odd nights. Every night in the holy month of Ramadan. Imagine every night in the holy month of Ramadan, I want to rest. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., I'd want to rest. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam would make sure that in the middle of the night, while Kufa would be asleep, the Imam himself would go out in the middle of the night. He'd have a bag, a very heavy bag. He'd carry it on his back. and he'd go to each place. He'd sometimes see people on the streets, he'd sit with them. If they were a Christian, he'd sit with the Christian. If they were Muslim, he'd sit with the Muslim. If the person couldn't see, if the person was blind, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen would sit with the person who's blind. Many of us may neglect someone who's blind and poor and a beggar on the street. Mawla would sit. Would he ever say that I am Ali ibn Abi Talib? Never, never. If that blind person would ask, who are you? He'd say that I am just a servant of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawla ya Mawla, anta al-ghani wa ana al-faqir, wa hal yarhamu al-faqir illa al-ghani. He would say, I'm just one of the poor. I am one of the normal people. The person would ask his name. Mawla would not give his name. He'd return home. He'd return home. Every night he'd return until Ibn Muljam struck him that fateful night. Because on that fateful night, on the 19th, when Ibn Muljam struck him, there was a silence in the streets of Kufa. There were kids who were asking every night, where is that man? That man who used to come and feed us. People would ask each other, that where is that man who'd come every night and feed us? Children would ask, where's the man who used to bring us milk in the middle of the night? People would say, we don't know. Then the next night they would ask, and another night they would ask, until on a night like this, until on a day like this, there'd be orphans gathered around the house of Amir al-Mu'min. When the Imam, Imam al-Hasan would come out of the house and ask, why are you all gathered here? They'd say, we are gathered here because we heard your father was feeling unwell. We've gathered here because your father gave back so much to our families. We've gathered here because your father would put a smile on our face. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam would turn around to them and say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They'd say to him, why do you utter these words? He'd say to them that I've buried my father. My father's not here anymore. My father's not with us anymore. The orphans of Kufa on a night like this would be calling out, Wa Shahida, Wa Sayyida, Wa Aliya. Each of them would call out these titles one by one. Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Hussein had finished burying Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. On their way back, they passed by a man who was sitting there on the streets. That man was crying and calling out, where is that man who used to come to me every night? Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam sat by the man. He said to him, oh man, what do you mean? He said to him, every night in the holy month of Ramadan, there used to be a man who'd come and sit next to me. This man would sit, he'd talk to me every night, he'd feed me with his own hands, he'd break the food for me. Whenever I'd ask him, oh man, tell me your name, he'd never say his name. But the man has not been here for a few nights. Would you happen to know who that man was? All of you know, O Shia, all of you know, O Mualeen. Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Hussein broke down when they heard the man reading the Masa'ib in reality of their father. Imam al-Hasan said, that was my father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, who used to come and feed you every night. This night is a difficult night. Why? Because normally when they would go home, their sisters would have their father with them. Zainab and Kulthum would have their father there. Their father would gather them, sit with them. Ever since their mother Fatima died, he used to be the one for them. He was Aba al-Yatama for them for many years. On a night like this, Zainab asks, where's my father? Show me my father. Where's my father? Where's my shield? Where's my armor? Where's my protector? Where's the man? Where's the man who looked after every orphan and us? I ask her one thing. If the night of the 22nd of Ramadan, if that was difficult for you, then tell me about Shama Ghariba. If the night of the 22nd was difficult, then tell me when you lost all of your shields. Yes, you lost Amir al-Mu'mineen on this night. Tell me how you felt when you lost Hussein and Abbas. How did you feel when you lost Aun and Muhammad? How did you feel when you lost Qasim and Akbar and every one of those around you? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We welcome our respected mullah, al-mullah al-hajj Aba Mahdi. We welcome him. Please, everybody, welcome him to recite tonight's latmiya with the loudest of your salawat. Allahumma salli ala.
داري وادعونا داري الوحي مرجونا والحياة داري وادعونا والفلك وضعه يتغير والملك دمعه يفجر والحداري وادعونا داري الواحي مرجونا والحياة داري وادعونا داري الواحي مرجونا والحياة داري وادعونا والفلك وضعه تغير والملك دمعه فجر والحياة داري وادعونا الله الله شهل مواداع غير الكون ونظام زلزل العالم العلوي وما جت اركان الامام والقمر نوره تغيب وغربت شمس السلام والحليم صيوان انهدم والصبور مصيوب بسهام ولما نشاف بحر الكرام يبس قلوب اليتامى يبس قلوب اليتامى يفقدهم ويفقدونه وبرواحهم يفدونه يفقدهم ويفقدون وبرواحهم يفدون وبمصيبة صوابهم وبطيحت سيابهم والحدار وادعونا دار الواحي مرجونا والحياة داري وادعونا دار الواحي مرجونا والحياة داري وادعونا والفلك وضعه تغير والملك دمعه يفجر والحياة داري وادعونا روح شاطت وبدليلي النار تتواجد مشاعيل ولعد رابع سما توجه ضامري والدمع هاميل شفت آثار المصيبة والملك صاعد ونازيل منهم بمحراب هواو وباثار دمة خضبا منهم لعد راس عقداو ورتلوا قرآن كامل ورتلوا قرآن كامل واشرافهم ينعون من رادى ويضم دونه واشرافهم ينعونه ومن رادى ويضم دونه قطيعة وهرش يدي اللال ضمينا وجرحي الكتال والحداري ودعونا داري الوحي مرجونا والحياة داري ودعونا داري الوحي مرجونا والحياة داري ودعونا والفلك وضعت غيار والملك دمعي فجار والحداري وادعونا شن اسمع صوت يدوي ودهش فاكر تبرهيبة صوت جبرائيل ينده ويصرخ بصرخة غريبة والأفلاك العالمية انصابت بفترة عجيبة والأنبياء تهيأت وبصورة قدسية نزلت بتوديع أبو حسين حضرت وشاركتنا بهالمصيبة وشاركتنا بهالمصيبة للمصطفى يواسونا واجبهم يأدونا للمصطفى يواسونا واجبهم يأدونا أدوا المعروف بهاي وقطع ويقطر للماي والحداري ودعونا داري الواحي مرجونا والحداري ودعونا داري الواحي مرجونا والحداري ودعونا والفلك وضعت غيار والملك دمعي فجار والحداري ودعونا حيدر بحالة خطيرة ينازعي وجود بمهجته وهل بيته تحوم دونه وكل من يكفكف دمعته صد لابو محمد وشافه بصدره تتكسر عبرته وانكسر قلبه على الحسن ناداه ودموع عجرن عالدين انت المؤتمن وجهدك وجهدي احتسبته وجهدك وجهدي احتسبته وضلعي الصابر تحنونه عالدين ويتحامونه وضلعي الصابر تحنونه وعالدين ويتحامونه ونغيش عليه ويتغير وصوت النوايح كبار والحياداري وادعونا داري الوحي مرجونا والحياداري وادعونا داري الوحي مرجونا والحياداري وادعونا والفلك وضعت غيار والملك دمع يفجار والحداري وادعونا والحداري وادعونا الحسن وحسين دهر الهم والأمهوم الحسن وحسين دهر الهم والأمهوم راحل كان يجمعهم ويلمهم يتامى لا أبو يمهم والأمهوم وقضوا دنياهم بأمهيم وأذية على حيدر راح واجذب آه على حيدر راح واجذب آه وراه أموت ولا أشوف ابن عاش وراه الترب باشر ذال الوصي وراه اه تحن ارض وسم الحيدر سويه ايه تحن ارض وسم الحيدر يا سويه إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصاب أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد.